B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Ksubas Daf Yud. We're going to start from the very top of the Omid. And we're continuing the Gemara of the Taina, a claim if a chosn, who after the first time he has physical relations with his wife, with his new kala, he realizes or he thinks that he's not the first person to have relations with her, and then there's always the suspicion of maybe there was an incident of znus. If there was an incident of znus, we have to know other details, when it happened, how it happened, etc. And he has to go to Beis Din. That's the topics we've been discussing till now, that he's believed to say that there's a chance, or it's probable that she was not a basula. Now there's two ways of claiming that. Either one, which is a very certain and definite one, which is called Tainas Domim, where the sheet or the cloth that they used after they were together to clean or to wipe or to determine whether there was or wasn't any dam basulim. If there was no dam, then there's something which he's quite sure about. And there's another claim where he says, I don't know about the bleeding. The Rishonim discuss exactly what the issue is with the bleeding. We saw this from Rashi at the top of Daf Tes Amud Aleph. We discussed that already. But he says, one thing I think that Pesach Pasuach, it didn't feel very tight, and it seems that it just has that feeling that maybe somebody else had relations with her before. And that's another claim, Pesach Pasuach, that the entrance was open already, so to speak, and that's another claim. And we've discussed that this taina, this claim that she's not a basula, besides for the discussion of is she a zoyna, is she not a zoyna, there's also discussion that how much ksuba she deserves, because a basula is deserving when a marriage with a basula terminates, either because the husband dies or he divorces her, he pays her ksuba of 200 zuz. But if she was not a basula, then the ksuba is only 100 zuz, one monet. Says the Gemara, Itmar Omer of Nachman Omer Shmuel. It says in the name of Shmuel, Meshum Rav Shim Ben Elozo, Chachomim Tiknu Lehem Libnois Yisrael. Rav Shim Ben Elozo assumes that the concept of ksuba, the commitment of the husband to his wife, that if he terminates the marriage, or if the marriage terminates, that he's going to give her the ksuba, what we call the ksuba, he's going to pay her the amount written in the ksuba. Rav Shim Ben Elozo holds it's a takonas chachomim. It was something midrabonon, something which is not min haTorah. We're soon going to see that there's a discussion about that. But here he says it was the chachomim shetiknu lehem lebnois Yisrael. It was the chachomim that instated for the bnois Yisrael lebesula, that if when she got married she was a besula, that she had never been married before, mosaim, that she gets when the marriage terminates, then she would get 200 zuz, which is two monet. Ula almona, however, she's a widow, she's been married before, and then the second husband is only committed, the ksuba is only mone, it's 100 zuz. Vehem, and the very same chachomim that instated the concept of this ksuba, himinuhu, they believed him. Shem Omar, Pesach Pasuach Mutsasi, that if he comes with a claim and says that even though I assumed she was a basula, but when we had relations, it felt as if she's not a basula. Ne'emon, that he's believed to the point that he can be mafsid ksubasa, that she does not get the ksuba of 200 zuz. Imkein, ma'hu ilu chachomim betakonosam. If the only reason, why did the chachomim make a takona that one has to pay ksuba? We're going to see that later in the Gemara, is because shaloite kalo be'inov loitzio. It shouldn't be so easy. She's in a bad mood. Okay, I'm giving you a divorce. No, you have to realize that if you give her a divorce, it comes with a financial commitment. You'll think twice. And we want a husband to think twice before divorcing his wife. But if he can just say Pesach Pasuach Mutsasi and say, she wasn't a basula and she gets no ksuba, then ma'ho ilu chachomim betakonosim. If it's that easy for her to divorce her without giving her the ksuba, then what did it help? Omar, Rava says no, because chazaka in odem tereach besuda umafsida. Because we have a chazaka, we have an assumption that nobody is going to go into all the effort and financial expense to prepare a chasna if he hates her and is planning the next morning to get rid of her. If he doesn't want to marry her, he's not going to go into all that effort. If he went into that effort, then we assume that it's actually true what he said, that Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, and therefore he's Ne'emon. And it will not make it easy for him to just divorce her the day after he gets married, because if that's what he wanted to do, he wouldn't have married her. Continues the Gemara, Tana, Hoyl v'konas chachomim hu, uknas chachomim hu. Since the concept of ksuba is a knas, we'll soon see what that means. A knas normally means a penalty. But since it's just something the chachomim instated, then therefore lo tikva ela min haziburis. We know that every person who has property, who has fields or property, the property in and of its own, irrespective of the value of the property, it could be a high quality property, a medium quality property, and a low quality property. A regular loan that's recognized min ha-Torah, when the person pays back the loan, then he can be expected to pay back using his higher quality fields to the value of the loan and pay that back. But over here, that the commitment he has when he divorces his wife to give her the ksuba is only midrabanon. Min ha-Torah, there is no such commitment. Therefore, when she takes the ksuba, when he divorces her, then she can only claim from the ziburis, she can only expect him to give her the value of the ksuba, but from the lower quality fields, not more than that. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Knosa, you're calling the ksuba a penalty, a fine? My knosa, what did he do wrong to deserve a knas, to deserve a penalty? Elo eima, you should change it. It's not hoil v'knas chachomim. It's not that the ksuba is a knas, it's a penalty. No, hoil v'takonas chachomim hu. Since it was instated by the chachomim, it was a takona, therefore lo tigba elo min haziburis. Continues the Gemara. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel claims, not like we just saw before from Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Reb Shimon ben Elazar said it was the Chachomim that tiknu ksuba. And we just saw now also, Tana, that we learned it was a knas Chachomim, a takonas Chachomim. Says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, no. Ksubas isha min ha-Torah. The fact that you have to give the ksuba, that when a husband dies or he divorces his wife, he has to pay her the ksuba, is actually rooted in the Torah. Asks the Gemara, Umi Omer Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Hachi? Did Reb Shimon ben Gamliel actually hold that ksuba is min ha-Torah? V'otanya, we learned in the Braisa regarding Mefate. We know that unfortunately it happens that even though physical relations is something which is exclusively supposed to be within marriage, but sometimes this happens outside of marriage. Sometimes it happens with the consent of a woman, and sometimes not. When it happens with the consent, where this person just seduced her into doing an aveira with him, that's called mefate. If it was done by force, then it's called oinus. And this psukim in the Torah, the punishment we give a man for oinus or mefate. Says the Braisa, that we learn in a posuk, imoin yomoin ovio l'sita loy, that in the case of mefate, where a man, he somehow managed to convince a girl to have relations with him, she wasn't married, the halach is that he has to marry her, and he has to stay with her, he can't divorce her without her consent. But what happens if, imoin yomoin ovio l'sita loy, if the father doesn't want this girl to marry this boy, then kesef yishkoil, then he has to pay to the father of the girl, k'moyhar, Habasula Ismoyer is a settlement. It's also got sometimes used as a dowry. We'll come to that soon. But the Moyhar is a settlement of the Basulais. So what's the Braisa say? Sheheze Kemoyhar Habasulais. That the settlement for the Basulim that this person took away from this girl by having relations with her when it was done mefate is k'moyhar habasulois. It's some similarities to the moyhar, to the settlement he has to pay by oinus when he had relations with her by force. Umoyhar habasulois, and the settlement of the basulim when it was done by oinus will have some similarity, because it will be similar to the halachas of the penalty that he has to pay when it was done by mefate. It means we learn one from the other. That in the same way as by oinus, it says explicitly that the amount to be paid is 50. So 50 kesef, 50 shkolim. So to by mefate, it has to be 50 shkolim. It means, and we learn out shkolim from each other, and we learn out the sum 50 from each other. And we'll learn more about that elsewhere, Mirtz Hashem, later on in the Masechta. All the details of oinus and mefate. But you see here that the moihar, the settlement of the psulim, it's has halachas by oinos and has halachas by mefate. Continues the Braisa, mikan somchu chachomim leksubas isho min ha-Torah. The fact that it's called a moihar, and a moihar also can mean a dowry, a nidunya, which is given typically when a girl gets married. So we see that the Torah already recognizes a dowry, a commitment when marrying a psula. And what is that? And that is the 200 zuz we mentioned before. That's the Tanakam in the Braisa. Indeed, it would seem that it's min haTorah. The Ramban even says it's halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, and it was only some chachamim. The chachamim said that the halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, which is also considered a deiraisa, is min haTorah. Some chachamim k'subas isha min haTorah. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel argues and says k'subas isha eino midivrei Torah eino midivrei Seifrim. The k'suba is only midrabanon. It's not min haTorah. So here we have a contradiction. What does Reb Shimon ben Gamliel hold? First, we said Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer k'subas isha min haTorah, and he says explicitly k'subas isha eino midivrei Torah eino midivrei Seifrim. That's the question of the Gemara. Says the Gemara Epech. The second brisa we learned between the Tanakam and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel switched them round. It's actually Reb Shimon ben Gamliel that says you learn out from Kamoy HaRabasulais that Ksuba is Min HaTorah, and it's the Chachomim who say it's Eino Midivrei Torah. Just twist round the two opinions in the brisa to conform with what we said in the name of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel that Ksuba is Isho Min HaTorah. Asks the Gemara, Umay Chozes de Epchus Basraisa, Epach Kamaisa. Why are you saying change over the Braisa? Why don't you just say that the quote of Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, just say Ksubas Isha is not Min haTorah to conform with his opinion in the Braisa? Why are you switching over the Braisa and not switching over the opinion mentioned initially? Says the Gemara, Ho Shomanu Leil Reb Shimon ben Gamliel do Omar Ksubas Isha Min Deraisa. Because when it says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Ksubas Isha Min haTorah, this was something they heard. They knew that to be a fact. You asked a question, we have a Braisa that said in his name that it's not Min haTorah. Obviously, there was in the Braisa there was some mistake, and the opinions were quoted wrong. Switch over the opinions. Ditnan. Where do we find that? In a Mishnah, besides what we saw before, B'Shim ben Gamliel Omer, where do we find explicitly a Mishnah to this effect? B'Shim ben Gamliel Omer, Noisin lo mimois kaputkia. That what happens if a person marries a woman in Eretz Yisrael and then he divorces her in Kaputkia? Then the halach is, we're going to learn this later on, that he has to pay her with the coins of Eretz Yisrael, because the coins in Eretz Yisrael are lighter, they're easier to carry, easier to use. He has to give her the coins of Eretz Yisrael, because when he got married, he was in Eretz Yisrael. What happens if you married her in Kaputkia and divorced her in Eretz Yisrael? Then there also, you give her the coins of Eretz Yisrael. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel there argues and says, no, if you married her in Kaputkia, then you have to give her the coins of Kaputkia. Why would that be true? Because at the time of the commitment, when you got married, is when you committed yourself to the Ksuba was Min haTorah. That was a biblical commitment. And since it's like a loan, a biblical commitment which has the strength as a loan, when you take a loan, then you have to pay back in the same currency as that the loan was taken. So the fact that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, Noisin lo mimois kaputkia, even though he's divorcing her in Eretz Yisrael, nonetheless, you have to give her the coins of Kaputkia. It means the commitment in Kaputkia was that of a biblical level. So you see from here that, according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Ksuba is Min haTorah. V'ibo yisema, kula Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. It could be that even without another answer to the contradiction, first we said Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says Ksuba is Min haTorah, and then you brought a brisa that quotes Reb Shimon ben Gamliel that says Ksuba is not Min haTorah. No, you have to add in a few words into the Braisa, and then it will all make sense. Kulo Reb Shimon ben Gamliel hi. It seemed that there was an argument in the Braisa. The Chachomim say that from Moira Basulois you learn that Mikan Somcho Chachomim Luxubas Isha, that it's Min haTorah. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said it's not Min haTorah. No. V'chsuri mechsura. You have to add in a few words. There's a few words that seem to be missing from the text. V'ochik toni. Mikan Somcho Chachomim Luxubas Isha Min haTorah. The Chachomim say that Ksuba is Min haTorah, as we saw. And now we add in a few words, something which in the version of the Braisa that was first quoted, this wasn't written. That Ksuba Salmona, the amount of Ksuba, the 100 zuz, not the 200 zuz a Basula gets, the 100 zuz that one gets when marrying a widow, Eino Midivrei Torah, that's not Midivrei Torah, Elo Midivrei Seifrim, that's only Midrabonon. Shem Ben Gamliel Oimer, because Shem Ben Gamliel said, and it's explaining or in addition to what the Chachamim said, Ksuba Salmono Eino Medivre Torah Ela Medivre Seifrim. So this is the last part of the Braisa that we have. That means in our Braisa it seemed Chachamim say Ksuba is Minat Torah. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says Ksuba is not Minat Torah. Says the Gemara, no, you have to read into that. Everybody says Ksuba of Psula is Minat Torah. Then there was a clause in the Braisa that was self understood or taken for granted that Ksuba Salmono is not Minat Torah, and that's what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said, that Ksuba is only Midrabanon, referring to Ksubas Almona, not to the Ksuba of a Psula. Continues the Gemara, Hahu da'osu l'kameidu Rav Nachman. There was this Chosen who came to Rav Nachman the day after he got married, Omar Le, and he said to him, Pesach Pasuach Mutzasi, last night when I first had relations with my Kala, the entrance was opened, and it could be that she wasn't a Psula. Omar le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman responded, Osvuhu, give him lashes, kufri, with palm branches. He deserves to get lashes. Because if he's so confident that he knows what it feels like to have physical relations with a wife, with a woman, then obviously, mi barchato, the zoinois, in the place of barchato, chativole, they're just lying in front of him, readily available. It seems like he's got way too much experience for good taste. A new chosn shouldn't know what it feels like that the Pesach is pasuach. He's never had any relations and never gone anywhere near a girl. Why should he know? He deserves lashes. Rav Nachman hu da Omar Mehimon. The question is, did we not see explicitly the top of the Omud? Rav Nachman said, the very first line on the Omud, that heim heminuhu, they believe him, shem Omar Pesach pasuach mutzasi nemon. And over there he didn't say, well, he should get lashes. He didn't say there were lashes. And there's a discussion here whether what he meant to say is give him the lashes because we don't believe him that he's got experience. And since he doesn't have experience, who gave him the right to make the claim and he gets lashes for making the claim? But either way, Rav Nachman said before that we believe him and didn't mention anything about the lashes. And here Rav Nachman is saying, give him the lashes. Answers the Gemara, Mehemon, we believe him. Umasvinon leib kufri. We do believe him, and he gets Malkus because he's obviously been too exposed. That would be one answer. Rav Achoy Mashani, Rav Achoy says no, it depends. Kan b'bochur, v'kan b'nosui. In the case that it's a bochur, that it's somebody who was never married before, then we don't believe him, because where's your experience from? We don't believe him, and we give him Malkus for making a claim against his kala when he's got no right to do that. Kan benosui. But in the case that he was married, indeed we believe him because he's had experience, he knows what an open opening feels like, and then he doesn't get the Malkus because he didn't do anything wrong by making his claim. He had every right to make the claim because he had the right to know what it feels like. Continues the Gemara. Hahu da'asa l'kamei d'Rabbi Gamliel. There was this chosn that came to Rabbi Gamliel. Omar li Pesach pasuach matzasi. He says that the opening was open. I married her, assuming she was a basula. It seems she wasn't a basula. Omar li, Rabbi Gamliel said to this chosn, Shema hitisa. Maybe that when you did the penetration, you did it at an angle. And since you did it at an angle, then you don't feel the psulim, and it feels like the Pesach was pasuach. But had you done the bia normally, then you would have realized that the Pesach was not pasuach. Em shelecha moshel, Rav Gamliel said it's a moshel. I'll give you, what's it compared to? L'mo'adav adoyme, l'odom shohoye mahalich b'ish en laila. If somebody was going in the dark of night, v'ish en laila v'afeila, it was very dark, hita motzei pasuach. If you find this doorway, then if you go bang straight into the door, it's going to feel as if the door is closed because you can't see exactly how much the door is open. But if the door is a little bit open, loy hita means if hita, if you go to the side, you'll notice the door's a little bit ajar, the door's a little bit open. Motze pasuach, you'll feel that the door's open. Loy hita, but if you go straight on and you don't go at an angle, then motze no, it'll feel as if the door is closed. So you see clearly that the angle can make a difference as to how open something should feel. So Rav Gamliel told his chosn that you have no way of knowing that the Pesach was pasuach because maybe you penetrated at an angle. Ikad Omri Hocha. Others say that Rav Gamliel said to him differently. Omar le shema b'mezid hitisa. It could be that when you penetrated very deliberately and very forcefully. And when penetrating forcefully, then it's possible that you would not, you would actually just knock out the basulim, you wouldn't just break the basulim, you just knock them away, and you won't feel that the basulim were there. V'okarto ledasho v'abro, it's as if you uprooted the door with the bar, and that means you just knocked the basulim out, you didn't go through them. Emshe lecha moshel, I'll give you a marshal. L'mo'adov adoyme is compared to l'odom shay mahalich b'ishen laylo v'afelo, a person is going in the dark. Hito b'mezid, if he very deliberately and forcefully tries to go through a doorway, matzoi pasuach, he'll find it open because he's going to knock the whole door out. Loi hito b'mezid, but if you don't walk through very forcefully, matzoi nol, there's a good chance you'll realize that the door's actually closed. And so that's what Gamliel told him. Maybe the way that you did the bia was done in such a fashion that you did not notice, or you couldn't notice whether there was or wasn't a Pesach there, whether it was Pasuach or not, etc. Continues the Gemara, Huda Osele Kameid Rabbi Gamliel, there was this Chosen that came to Rabbi Gamliel. Now we're going to mention Rabbi Gamliel a few times, and it's very not clear, I mean it is clear, but it's clear that it's not the same Rabbi Gamliel. There were three Rabbi Gamliels, a number of generations apart, and this Rebbe Gamliel seems to be a great grandson of the Rebbe Gamliel we mentioned before. The Osele Kameid Rebbe Gamliel Bar Rebbe, the son of Rebbe, Omale. And this person, this Chosen, who came to Rebbe Gamliel, the great grandson, the son of Rebbe, and he said, Rebbe, my Rebbe, Boalti, I did the bia. Till now we were talking about Pesach Pasuach, where the Chosen says the entrance felt as if it's not the first time somebody's been there. Now he's saying, no. There was no blood. Omroloi. So Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe presumably turned to the Kala and said, what's your claim? You got married as a basula. He says there was no dam. There's no such thing as marrying a basula and not seeing dam. So she said, Rebbe, my master, Rebbe, basula yisi. I was a basula. Omroloem. Hevi uli oisei sudor. Because he said that we used this sheet, this cloth, to wipe herself after the bia to see if there's any blood. He said there was no blood on it. And she says, I don't know, yes, blood, not blood. I do know that I was a basula. So Omar Lehem, so Gamliel Barav said, Heviuli oisei sudar, bring me that cloth that you used to wipe yourself. Heviuli asudar, they brought him this sheet, this cloth. Veshor oi b'maim, he soaked it in water. Vechibsoi, and he washed it. He saw that, in true, that when they first brought this cloth, it looked as if it was totally clean. But what really happened, that the zera had covered over the drops of blood, and therefore you couldn't see them. So he washed away the zera, and then the red stains that were on the cloth became visible. So the Gamliel Barav said to this Chosen, go and collect your acquisition, which means go, you can enjoy your wife. Everything's okay. There was blood. And here's the blood. Omale huna marbere de rova mi parzakya l'Ravashi. Is huna marbere de rova from Parzakya said to Ravashi, Anan namid nevitochi. He asked him, should we also do such a thing? And when somebody comes and says there was no blood, should we also check and do what Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe said and check if maybe the zera was covering over the blood and really the blood was there? Omale, so Ravashi answered back to him and said, we have an issue because with Ba'as in Bovel, the gihutz shelanu kekibus shelahem, because the process was they would launder, they would wash clothes, and afterwards they would a type of pressing or ironing called kibbutz, where they would rub the garment with some glass stone. And in Eretz Yisrael, just laundering and washing either the water was very good or the detergents were better, but they managed to wash the garments and then they could see whether there were stains on the garment or not, but they could wash away the zera or anything that was on top of it. That's all fine in Eretz Yisrael. In Bovel, where the water or the detergents were not as good, therefore the only way to achieve the level of cleanliness that washing in Eretz Yisrael would have achieved is by not only washing, but also by pressing and rubbing the material with this glass stone. The problem is that if you're going to rub the material, this sheet or this cloth, with a glass stone, then you're going to wipe away the stain, the blood stain as well. So he said, Ravashi said, only in Eretz Yisrael where mirror washing has enough quality to actually wash the garment, but without rubbing away the stain, they could use this test. However, us in Bovel, well, we can only reach that level of cleanliness by rubbing it. If we rub the garment, we'll rub away the stain, so it won't work. Gihutz shelonu, the pressing, the rubbing with the glass stone of us in Bovel, cleans to the level of kibbutz, to the regular laundering shelohem in Eretz Yisrael of them. V'omritzne, and if you're going to say them, if you don't do the gihutz, it won't be as clean, so you won't know if there's any blood underneath, because they won't manage to clean off the zera completely. V'omrus neved gihutz, you're going to suggest that we should do the whole thing and do the pressing as well to make it completely clean. Ma'abrele chumrusa, then the stone, chumrusa is the stone, is going to remove the blood stains as well. And again, you will not have achieved anything with this test. Continues the Gemara, Hahu da'osa le'kameid Reb Gamliel barebi. This is that somebody else came to Rabbi Gamliel, Omar Le, and said to him, Rabbi, but al tivale matzal sidom. Again, a similar situation. I did the bia, there was no blood. Omar Le, so what did the woman respond to Rabbi Gamliel? Rabbi, adayin basulani. I'm still a basula. Omar Le, so Rabbi Gamliel by Rabbi said, Heviu li shtei shfochis. Bring me two non-Jewish maidservants. Achas basula. One that's never been married before. Va'achas basula, bu'ula, and one that has been married. Hiviuloi, they brought him these two maidservants. Va'yishivon al pi chovius shel yain. And they sat each of these two maidservants on a barrel of wine. And by the bu'ula, in the case of the bu'ula, where the entrance had been opened, then reicha noidav, then from her mouth, the smell of the wine, the fragrance of the wine had gone right through her body and come out through her mouth. The basula, however, regarding the basula, that the entrance is closed because the basulim are still there. Ein reicha noidav, then the smell of the wine did not come out from her mouth. So now that we'll soon see why he had to try this, but now that he'd tried and tested this test and he saw it actually works, he said, avzu, this kala will do the same test. So Shiva, he sat her on a barrel of wine, and indeed there was no smell that came out of her mouth. Omar, he said to the chosn, Omar loy, leich zakei b'mechecho, you can go and be zaycha, you can acquire, you can keep your wife, everything is okay. Says the Gemara of Nivdoik, Me'ikora begavo. Why did you have to first try out this test with these two maids? So answers the Gemara, Gemara have a Shmir Leir. Rabbi Gamliel had just had a tradition. He just knew that they'd spoken about doing such a test. Maisa le'ave chozi, he didn't actually ever see anyone doing the test. V'sovar, and he thought, Dilma lo'ikim le'begave de'milsa shapir. Maybe I don't know how to do this test properly. V'lav erachare, it's inappropriate lezilzula, to degrade b'bnois Yisrael, to sit them on barrels. So if you know it's going to work, and this is what you have to do, but before I do it to the b'bnois Yisrael, I'm first going to try out if I actually know how to do the test. Continues the Gemara, Ahu da'osa lekamei de Rabbi Gamliel hazokin. This is the first Rabbi Gamliel, who's the grandfather of the Rabbi Gamliel we first mentioned on Amud Aleph. And this chosn came to him, to Rabbi Gamliel Azokin, Omar Loi, and said to him, Rebbe, ba'alti v'loi matzal sidom. I did the bia, there was no blood. Omar Loi, what's she claiming? She's saying, Rebbe, mi mishpachas durkati ani. I'm from the family of durkati. She'ein lehem loy dam nida, v'loy dam basulim. They hardly have any blood. They don't have not the regular monthly cycles of blood, which makes a woman a nida, the dam nida, and dam basulim also they don't have. What do you want from me? We are a family where the blood is just very dried out, and it just isn't. Well, there almost isn't. Bodak Rabbi Gamliel b'krevei se'al. So Rabbi Gamliel checked with her other relatives of this kala, and they all substantiated what she said and said, yes, we are of this family, and in our family, there's no dam nida, so no dam basulim. Omar loy. So Rabbi Gamliel said to this chosn, "Leich zakei b'mechecho. This that you didn't find any blood is not a reason to believe that somebody else had relations with her before, and this is just the family, and we assume that she's kosher and everything is okay." And he added on, "Ashrecho, you're fortunate shezochisa lemishpachas Durdaki, that you merited marrying into the family of Durkati." Asks the Gemara, my Durkati, before we understand whether what's so fortunate about this, but why are they called Durkati? Says the Gemara, because it's Doir Kotua, the generations are cut off, which means they have much less children. Because if there's no if there's less blood, then there's the when there's less ability to fertilize the eggs and to go through the process of becoming pregnant, and they don't have as many children. And therefore, so to speak, it's as if the generations are being affected. That's why they were called, this family was called Dor Ketua, cut-off generation, Dor Keti. The question is, if so, why did he say, Ashrecha Shezachisa, you're fortunate to have merited a woman from this family. What's so good about this family? They have an issue here. Omer Reb Chanina. Reb Chanina indeed held the Tanchumim Shel Hevel Nichamu. It was a false type of, a fake type of a consolation that he consoled him. Nichamu Reb Gamliel Loiseish. This consolation that Reb Gamliel said to this person, it was false. The Tani Reb Chia. Because we learned from Reb Chia that Kishem Shasa'oyer Yofel Isa, in the same way as yeast is beneficial for the dough, it helps it ferment and become a proper dough. Kach domim yofim leisha. So too, in order for a woman to be able to be fruitful, she needs to have the blood, the dam nidus. V'tonam mishum Reb Meir. We also learned in the name of Reb Meir that kol isha shedomeo merubim, boneo merubim. A woman that has more blood in her going through the system, so too, she'll have more children. Itmer Rabirmi bar Abba Omar. And it was Rabbi Yirmiyah actually said, like we saw before, that what Rabbi Gamliel told the Chosn is Zakei, zchus, so to speak, it's a merit to take this mekcha, your acquisition, this your wife that you've bought, your wife that you've now, your new wife. It's a zchus. And indeed, according to that, we didn't understand what's the zchus. And then we said, Rabbi Chanina said it was a tanchumim shel hevel. Rabbi Yosi bar Ovin Omar, however, Rabbi Yosi bar Ovin, who argued and said, Nischayev b'mekhecha Omar Roy. He didn't say that this is a schus for you, it's a merit for you. He actually says Nischayev, which means this is something that you have no choice. You're married to her, take her, and this is just what Hashem is giving, a challenge Hashem is giving it to you, but it's not a schus, it's more of a choyv, more of a liability than it is a merit. So Bishleim elemando Omar Nischayev, Haino Reb Chanina. So the one who says that he said Nischayev, I can understand, because of Chanina said that a woman that doesn't have blood, then it's indeed an issue. She has less children. Elo lemando Omar Zakei, but according to the opinion that says it was a schus, my schusa, what schus is it? So this that Reb Gamliel said, Ashrecha shezachisa lemishbachas dur deki, that Reb Chanina said, it was tanchumin shel hevel nichamu. But how can you use the term of Zakei? It's a schus, it's a merit. How can you say such a thing? What there must be, even though it's a choiv on some level, it's a liability on some level, it's something which is going to work against him, but there must be some element of schus. Says the Gemara, yes. Delei osi lidei sofik nida. A woman that hardly sees blood of nidais, then there's never an issue with, is she a nida? Is she not a nida? Did she see blood? Didn't she see blood? Which are issues discussed in Shas when we have these problems. But these women, this family, they don't see any blood. So they don't have these doubts. They don't have these problems. And there's an element of schus in marrying such a family. But to say, ashrecho shezachiso, you're fortunate, that already, Reb Chanina said, is tanchumin shel hevel. Continues the Gemara, who da osa lekameh de Rebbe. This chosn came to Rebbe. Omar lei said him, Rebbe, bo'alti v'lei mutzasi dom. That when we had relations, there was no blood. Omro loy, what did she claim? She said, Rebbe, adayin basulo ha'yisi. And this is very complicated. The Rishonim here have an issue with, because adayin means still, and ha'yisi means I was. So the words would be translated, and I still was a basula. Well, if you were a basula, you're not anymore. What's the still? So it's an issue, but whichever way you hold it, either she was saying, I'm still a basula, or she was saying, I was a basula. But either way, she was arguing. He said there was no blood. She's saying that there was no znus, there was no issue. And how did she explain the fact that there was no blood? Ushnei butzeres hava. It's years of famine. And in the years of famine, there's less blood, the body is drier, and therefore, we don't expect her to see the blood. Ra'a Rebbe shepneim shcheirim. Rebbe saw indeed that their faces, that her face, that their faces were darkened from the famine. Tziva aleim. So what did he do? He commanded them, ve'chnislam lemerchatz, and he sent them to the bathhouse. Ve'chilom, and he gave them to eat. Ve'hishkom, and he gave them to drink. Ve'chnislam lecheder, and he put them, secluded them alone in a room. Baal. And then the next time where they had relations, Umotzadam, indeed her system had recovered a little bit. They found the blood and everything was okay. Omaloi said to him, Leich zachkei b'mekhecho. Kori Rebbe Aleim, and Rebbe said about this couple, he quoted the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Eicha, Choshach mishchoyr to'orom, loy nikru b'chutzois, tzofad oyrom. They were so weak and dry from famine that tzofad oyrom, their skins clung al atzmom onto their bones. Yovish, they were dry, yovish hoyo ko'etz, they were dry like wood. That's what Rebbe said about this unfortunate couple. Continues the next Mishnah. Basula ksuba somosaim. We saw this before already, that the amount of ksuba that a basula gets, somebody who marries a girl who's never been married before, then the ksuba, the amount he has to pay if and when the marriage divorces or terminates any other way, if he dies, is mosaim, he has to pay her 200 zuz. Valmona, in the case of an almona, mona. And we saw that the almona mona is midrabonon, and mosaim for basula is a machlekas, whether it's derais or derabonon. We saw that Shmuel held that ksubas basula is a derabonon, and we saw that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said that ksubas isha minat toira. Now, what happens if you have a typical case, a basula would be somebody who's never been married. Anyone who's been married, typically an almona or a gerusha for that matter, there will always be a basula, because the day after they get married, after the nisuin, the night after nisuin, they're supposed to do the biyah rishayna, and then she's no longer a basula anymore. What happens if you have a basula? She's still a basula. She was married, but not the nisuin, only the erusin. And what happened between the erusin and now? Either an almona, either between the erusin and the chuppah, the husband died and left her an almona, a widow, or grusha, or he divorced her between the kiddushin and the nisuin, or the chalutza, if he died and didn't have any children, he didn't have any children yet, and she then had to do chalitza. We learned this in Maseches Yevamos, that if a man dies without children, she marries his brother. And if he doesn't want to, or she doesn't want to, they don't want to get married, they have to do chalitza. And if this woman is now a chalutza, which means that she was a basula, they only did kiddushin, they never had the chuppah, he died in between or divorced her, so now it's a basula which is either an almona or a grusha or a chalutza, mina erusin, and all this was from the erusin, they were never got as far as the chuppah stage. Nowadays, we've mentioned this before, that nowadays it's hardly possible because the kiddushin and the chuppah are done one after the other. All you have in between is the reading of the ksuba, which is a couple of minutes. But back in the days, there was 12 months in between. So if he died or divorced her, or she had to do chalitza because he died in between, so she's an almona grusha v'chalutza, but she's a basula. Then ksubas on mosaim, when she remarries, then since she's a basula, then the ksuba is 200. V'yeshla and tainis basulim. And then the second husband, when he has relations with her for the first time, he can expect her to be a basula. He marries her with the assumption that she's a basula. And if it becomes apparent that she's not a basula, then he can come with tainis basulim. He can make a claim and say she's not a basula, and she will lose her ksuba. Says the Gemara. My almono. The word almono. Almono. What does that mean? Where's this word come from? Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Chana Bagdota. Rav Chana from Baghdad said, Almono is al shem mono. She's called Almono because in the word Almono you've got the word mono. Mono is a coin of 100 zuz, and that's how much she gets. So the question is, that's all very good, a regular widow. A widow is called an almona because when she gets married the second time, she only gets a mona. But the Mishnah just said that we understand there's a concept of an almona who is still a basula because she became a widow before the nisuin, and then she gets mosaim zuz, which is two mona. So, almona mina erusin ma'ikel ameima, an almona who became a widow between the kiddushin and the chuppah, why is she called an almona? She doesn't get from her second husband just a mono, 100 zuz, she gets 200 zuz. Says the Gemara, you're right, technically it's true, but I did the ha kori le almona, ha nami kori le almona. Since a widow after chuppah is called an almona because she only receives a mono with the next marriage, so a widow from the kiddushin has also got the same title, it's also called almona. Asks the Gemara, almona dechsiva bo'iraisa, Michael Amimar. I can understand that an almona is called an almona because she only gets a mona. But ksubas almona is a mona. Everybody agrees. We saw that on the Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, that it's only midrabbanon. So the Torah is calling her an almona. The word almona is written in the Chumash. The Torah is calling her an almona because she only gets a mona and not mosaim. Well, the ksuba of an almona, getting a mona, is something which was not even, didn't exist in biblical times. It's only midrabbanon. Says the Gemara, the asidin rabbonon de metakni leimona. Yes, the Torah called an almona because the Torah knew that in the future the Chachomim would say that an almona only gets a ksuba of a mona. Asks the Gemara, umikosav kro laosid. Do you ever find in the Chumash that the Chumash calls something by a name based on what's going to be in the future? Says the Gemara, yes. The Chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, and it's a Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, it says, V'shem ha-Noor ha-Shlishi, Chidekel, the third river that was mentioned there of the four rivers, is called Chidekel, Hu ha-Hoylech Kidmas Ashur, and it's a river that goes to the east of Ashur. V'tono, and Rav Yosef explained, that Ashur, what is Ashur? Zu Slika, it's the name of a place called Slika. Or Mihavoy, with the Pasuk is talking about when Hashem created the world. When Hashem created the world, the place called Slika existed. Slika was built much later. So how can you say Chidekel, Hu Ha'ilech Kidmas Ashur, that the Chidekel is going on the east of Ashur, which is Silka? Silka didn't even exist yet. Elo Da'asida, it must be the Torah spoke about Ashur, which is Silka, in the future. This is the river that is going round on the east of Ashur, which is Silka. In the future, it's going to be Silka. In the future, it's going to be built. So too, the Torah called this woman an almona, because in the future, it would become apparent that she only gets a mona. Continues the Gemara. And since the Gemara started by explaining a word, almona, we're going to explain a few more words. Again, Rav Chana from Baghdad said, motor. Regarding rain, it has a number of purposes. Number one, mashke, marve, it waters and saturates the ground. Umazabel, it fertilizes the ground. Umaadein, it makes the fruits shine. Umamshich, and it adds growth to the harvest and whatever is growing. Omer Rava bar Rabbi Shmuel, v'itema Rav Yehuda bar Shlamya, micro. Where would you see this in the pasuk? Says the pasuk is in Tehillim. The pasuk says, Telomeho, its trenches, rave, are saturated. So if the trenches are saturated, so you see there that the first two, which is mashke, it waters, and marve, it saturates. Gedudeo, birvivim temoigneno, that the furrows, birvivim, with the showers of rain, temoigagno, they get softened. This is the mezabil, this is the fertilizer. And then the pasuk finishes, Tzimcha Tavorich, that the growth is very blessed. That's the Ma'adin and the Mamshich, that it causes the harvest, the crops, to grow more and to become Ma'adin, to become shiny, to become a better quality. Continues the Gemara, Omer Reb Loza, Mizbeach. Now talking about the Mizbeach, and these words, most of them have some one or more letters of the word Mizbeach in them. It removes, and we assume now that removing, it means it removes Averis, because you bring a korban, and then Averis gets removed. Umezin, it provides sustenance. Mechaviv, it causes that Klal Yisrael should be endeared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Hashem. Mechapir, and it atones. Asks the Gemara, Hainu Mechapir, Hainu Maziach. In what context do we say Maziach, that it removes, we assume Averis, but it removes something, and in what context does it atone? Says the Gemara, Meziach, what it removes is actually not Averus. It removes the Gzerus. The evil decrees that are consequent to Averus get removed by bringing the Korbanus on the Mizbeach. Or Mechaper, and what does it atone for? Avoinus, it atones for the actual Averus. Continues the Gemara, V'omer of Chonu Bagdato, Tamri, regarding dates, has a number of qualities. Number one, Meshachnon, it warms the body. Mesavon, it satiates. Meshal Shalon, it loosens the bowels. Ma'ashron, and it gives a person energy. V'lo mefankon, and it does not cause a dependency, a type of addiction. It doesn't cause this dependency. Omarav, Rav says, Ochal Tamorim, somebody who eats dates, then the quality of the dates or the it almost intoxicates him, and therefore Al Yaira, he should not render any legal decisions because his mind is not lucid enough to make absolutely clear decisions. Meisve, we have a contradiction. There's something we can ask a question from a braisa. Tamorim Shacharis V'Arvis Yofis. Eating dates after a meal, in the morning or in the evening after a meal, yofis, they are very beneficial. B'mincha, eating them in the afternoon before a meal, rois, is very bad. B'tzoraim, at noon, which is just after the meal, ein k'moisam, there's nothing as good as them. U'mevatlon, and they nullify shloisha dvorim. They nullify three things. Number one, machshav ra, worry, anxiety, gets taken away when having these tamorim, because since the tamorim make a person masamchis es alev, they gladden the heart, then, and in the afternoon time, typically, it's a time of day where there's a lot of light and a lot of pleasure and simcha, and therefore there's less machshavas rois. There's, because we're talking here about the eating the dates, but tzoraim at noon, v'choli me'ayim. It also nullifies the intestine, any issues, any disease in the digestive system. But tachtonis, which is another type of disease, it takes care of all that. So the Braisa just gave us a long list of positive traits and properties of the dates. So how can Rav say that ochal tamorim al yera, that if you eat the dates, that you can't, you know, it messes up the brain and you can't make any yera, you can't rule any halachas? Answers the Gemara, Mi amrinon deloy malu? Did Rav say that dates are not beneficial, they're not good? Iloy malu, they're very good. Lufi shaito tirda, it just can disorient a person for a few moments or for a few minutes, a few hours, whatever it may be. So whilst you're under the influence of these dates, you shouldn't make halachic rulings that demand a very clear mind. But that doesn't mean that it's not that there isn't many benefits and properties, positive properties in the dates. Midi dehava achamra. Why is it different to the concept of wine? The Omar Mar that we learned that ashoiser vies yain. Anybody who drinks wine al yaira, he shouldn't drink. He shouldn't rule halachas because his mind is not completely clear if he's under the influence of alcohol and is intoxicated. That doesn't mean that wine is bad. Wine is wonderful, but whilst you're under the influence, you shouldn't rule halachas. Or it could be, there's another way of explaining the contradiction whether dates are good or bad. If you eat them before eating bread, then it affects the brain and it's not good. But to eat the dates after a meal, eating the dates after the meal is very positive, and indeed it doesn't affect the mind's clarity, and in that case it would be permitted to rule halachas. The Omar Abaya. Abaya said, Omroli, aim, my mother said, and this wasn't really his mother died when he was very, very young, it was actually his nursemaid, and Abaya said in the name of his nursemaid, that Tamra Mikamonamo, eating dates before you eat any food on an empty stomach, Kinargo Ledikula, it's very bad, it's like an axe to a palm tree, where it destroys the tree. Bosonama, however, when you're eating the dates after eating a meal, then ki avro ledasha. Then it's like a bar to a door where the bar strengthens the door, and on the contrary, it's very positive. Continues the Gemara. Dosha. Dosha is another word for a door. Why is the door called a dosha? Omar Rava said, derech shom. The word dosha is, the dalet is derech, the shin is shom, because derech shom is through there. That's the way through. That's typically what a door does. You go through from one place to the next. Dargo, why is a ladder called a dargo? Omar Rava, because the word dargo is derech gag. It's the way to go onto the roof. And the only way to go up to the roof is with a ladder. Puria, why is a bed called puria? Omar of Papa, sheporin v'rovin aleo, because typically a couple, when they're together, they do it on a bed. And therefore, it's the bed that helps the couple be fruitful and multiply, and that's why a bed is called Puria. Omer of Nachon by Yitzchok, af onu nam noimar eilonis. We know that a woman that cannot have children is called an eilonis. Why? That duchronis, because an eilonis comes from the word Ail, which is a male ram, and obviously a male ram cannot have children. The targum for the word, for the targum for a ram is Dochor. So Duchronis, an Ailunis is a Duchronis, is a male ram. Delo Yaldo, that obviously cannot have children, and that's why she's called an Ailunis, because a woman who cannot have children has the same title as a male ram, which is Duchronis, which is male, and a male cannot have children, cannot bear children. So an Ailunis is a woman who cannot bear children. And in Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.